Yes.
Otherwise, we didn't have the conversations going on.
So there's like if you look at sort of radio as a field, it's always involved somewhere on this electromagnetic spectrum. And basically, the beginnings of radios were with very long waves. Why we have this idea of long wave radio, short wave radio, that has to do with the frequency of the signal. So you have something which starts altering an electric current in a metal object, and then this fact creates like magnetism around it. And basically, I don't know if you've ever done the electromagnet experiment where you have take a nail and wind a wire around it and then put
a copper wire.
Put a battery on it and then the thing becomes magnetic. It's just one of the intrinsic physical properties of electricity. It's like it's always combined with magnetism. Which is why sometimes it's like people warn against, you know, like putting electronic devices close to magnets because it starts cross-talking. And so the people have been basically using this property to encode either a voice or later data onto these kinds of electromagnetic forces. And because radio travels at the speed of light, which is the fastest thing we know physically, you can determine the so-called wavelength, so how long is one of these waves, by looking at the frequency. So the frequency is usually expressed in hertz, which you know, like megahertz, gigahertz, kilohertz. And that is a unit of measurement of the amount of oscillation. So an oscillating wave is going up and down per unit of time. So per second is a hertz. So if you have a 1 hertz wave, it's going up and down in a second. And because it travels at the speed of light, if you have a 1 hertz wave, it becomes really long. Because there's a formula for it, which is the wavelength, which is usually expressed as lambda, is the frequency in, I think, megahertz divided by the speed of light, which gives you it's basically the amount of oscillations it can do, so from going up and then back down up in that unit of time, which means that this wave travels a certain distance. So they all have a wavelength, which is called, which sound, for example, also has this property because it's also waves, you know, like this general wave theory, which is why, for example, you can, in some empty spaces, you have echoes because you talk and then the wave perfectly bounces back and forth through the space. And that also depends on the pitch of that sound you're making, because that decides how long that wave physically is. All these radio waves have the same properties as light because it's the same material essentially, but we have organs that can interpret this light. So it bounces off some surfaces, it can pass through others, you can focus it like which we do with lenses, or diffuse it, you know, you can do all these same things with radio signals. So when, for example, at Nokia Bell Labs, this person was talking about radio shadows, it's literally this effect where this portion of the electromagnetic spectrum, the visible light, cannot pass through this object, so you get a shadow here. And radio waves will have the same kind of properties depending on the wavelength a bit. So longer waves, they can pass through objects quite easily. Which is why you can have, for example, shortwave radio that's, you know, like BBC World or Deutsche Welle, these kinds of radio stations, or even the ones from China. You can hear them across the world because they literally travel through the earth.
But that's shortwave. So yeah. Shortwave travels...
Yeah, but it's called shortwave, but they're actually like kilometer-long waves. Because in the history of the development of radio, at some point they said, like, we've been using longer waves, but now we have short waves.
I see. They're long waves.
So they are actually long.
Yeah.
So they don't experience this effect.
No. Yeah. And so the shorter your wave, in a way, the more you experience this effect that it cannot pass through materials, because it takes more energy to pass through.
Sunlight has a shorter wave than the sound.
And it has more, it has less
energy.
Break.
Yeah.
I think you can compare it to sound.
Yeah.
Like a high sound doesn't go very far, whereas the car with a bass, which is a very lower
wave,
you can hear it for miles.
Yeah, so the longer the wave, the less equivalent amount of energy input you need to make it travel farther. Which is also why we were seeing, for example, like
the longer the wave,
per unit of energy you put in, the farther it travels compared to shorter waves. Which is why, for example, if you're outside of a club, you always hear the bass, because it can travel through the walls. Whereas the high-pitched tones that are probably emitted with the same amount of energy, they cannot pass through the density of the walls. And also the longer waves probably make the whole building shake.
And the shaking is due to what?
Resonance frequency.
Yeah, so because sound is waves, but there are air waves that are pushing they're shifting the air pressure around us, which is how our eardrums work.
It's really a physical movement.
Yeah, and radio waves can be expressed with the same, let's say, mathematical principles of sinus waves that have a frequency and an amplitude. Amplitude is the amount of, like, how high the wave becomes. So you can use this language to express both radio waves, sound waves, but also waves in the sea or anything that makes an oscillation. So that's why you see the word frequency used in different kinds of contexts. And I think what is important for this is the novelty is that they're going to range of frequency in the high gigahertz range. So I saw on the Wikipedia page, I saw 26 gigahertz as one of the bands, which is radio waves which are like millimeter size.
Gigahertz?
No. Yeah, gigahertz.
It's not megahertz.
No, so megahertz is 1 million hertz, and gigahertz is 1 billion hertz. Yeah. And I made, like on my website, roelof.info, I have this project, Pretty Fly for a Wi-Fi, with a zine. So the project was looking at the culture of people that build their own Wi-Fi antennas to make community networks, etc., from all kinds of daily objects, household objects. And one of the reasons they could do that is because Wi-Fi as radio technology uses 2.4 gigahertz waves. So it has
2.4 gigahertz.
Yeah, so it has 24 billion oscillations per second, meaning that if you divide that by the speed of light, one of these waves is around 12 centimeters long, which coincidentally is also the size of your hands and handheld objects, which meant that, because antennas always correspond to the size of the wave, actually, it meant that people could use all kinds of handheld objects to start shaping these waves. So, for example, people would use a wok to put the radio antenna inside, because the wok is also, you know, it's made in a handy format, let's say. So it's a nice coincidence that that could happen. So also yesterday when we were setting up the wireless Antwerp, that dish, you know, it also has like handy sizes, but they're related intrinsically to the size of these radio waves. So you will find also, if you walk around town, bigger antennas are usually for longer waves also. Mm.
It's also if you're behind a metal grid where the opening is less than 12 centimeters, the wave comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. So that's, yeah, it literally doesn't fit through.
Like armed concrete.
Yeah.
I thought of a military context. Yeah. Yeah.
So you get also this kind of shadow effect. And a lot of these waves also occur naturally, and I think that's quite important for this story. Like, the universe is full of electromagnetic radiation, and one of the effects of that is, for example, the northern lights, which when they hit the atmosphere or near the, I think it has to do with the magnetic field of the Earth, and there it's, yeah, electromagnetic radiation from outside hitting these gases which are there, and then they start to light up. So,
but now, yeah, and even now there are particles going through our bodies and going through the Earth.
Yeah.
Something called muons, which just go through everything. And the way they detected this is by putting a swimming pool several kilometers under the Earth crust, and there they could visualize.
Still, these things coming in. Yeah.
Swimming pool to visualize the trajectory of these muons, so these particles.
How are they called?
Muons. But there is a lot more.
Yeah.
It's the only one.
But also, when you turn on the radio, you hear static, right?
Yeah.
And this static is the ambient electromagnetic that you hear, sounds, that gets sonified. And even if you go to a very quiet place where there's not a lot of transmitters around, you will hear the static because, nature is full of electromagnetic radiation, especially coming from the solar system into the Earth. So that's also one thing to know, that it's because it's also physical, and it's the same kind of stuff as light. It's already always there. And for example, sometimes the sun has these solar flares where the sun is like burning gas, and sometimes it has this explosion, and that also pushes a lot of extra electromagnetic energy to the Earth that can shut down energy grids and whatnot. So it's like, it's always a lot around already. And I think what might be, what is then important is, because these waves, they contain energy, which is usually expressed in watts. Right? When you have the boiler is 2 kilowatts, etc. And I think one of the things to look at is the amount of watts of radiated energy. That really matters. For example, the Wi-Fi works on the same frequency as the microwave, because it's a standardized band where companies can make any kinds of applications on this range of frequencies, and they don't need to ask special licenses for it. So the microwave and the Wi-Fi, they work on the same range. But
each range is standardized with licenses.
Yeah. So the radio frequency band is highly regulated, and it's completely sliced up into what can be done by whom, in which side of the spectrum. And you can actually look it up for all the devices. They will have registrations, for example, with the FCC, that's the American Communications Agency. And they will all have an FCC license, which tells you exactly at what kind of frequency this is operating. And you'll usually find the same kinds of bands, because those are the ones that are commercially available to companies. So a microwave and the Wi-Fi are on the same thing, but the microwave, if you would run it without the protective door open, it can really damage you, because that's how it heats the food, that the waves at high energy passing through the food, they
excite the water.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how we explained this to children was that the water molecules are dancing in your food, So when you dance a lot, you become hot.
Mm. Yeah. But the Wi-Fi is the same kind of radiation. The difference, though, is that the microwave is typically like 700 watts. That is focused in a small place, whereas the Wi-Fi is in the milliwatts range. And I think that really also matters for the 5G story. Like, how hard are they emitting the signals?
At what voltage?
Yeah, and I think there is where is a lot of the discussion. I think there's quite some consensus that if you point a microwave oven at organic material, it heats up and it destroys it. So the discussion is a bit at which kind of wattage is safe for organic tissue.
It's also
with these, yeah. And this is also all in the milliwatts. And actually, the more modern the
electrical. Milliwatts, you call them?
Yeah.
Milliwatts.
So that's thousands of. No, yeah, 1,000th of watts. So the more modern these things become, the less they have to rely on basically shouting really loud. Because that's
right.
One way to solve it if you want to talk across the room. The more force you put, the louder you shout, the better they can hear you across. So old cell phones, they were emitting a lot of power. But with these newer technologies, like 3G, 4G, they're doing less and less power to save battery. And they're solving it more with software, which is also one of the things that Bell Labs was showing, how they, you know, like, were able, with their software, to increase the speed of transmission on the same copper lines that have been in the ground for 50 years. And that's not because they're pumping more power, but more because they're using compression and sort of smart... I have all their photos, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I took pictures of all their slides.
You haven't uploaded them yet.
No.
Are
you the supplier of all these nice things?
Yeah.
So, I think it's important to look at how much watt is being emitted.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I think that will be the thing which will interfere or damage organic material. And one of the reasons, for example, when you have these GSM cell phone towers and they put a fence around them, it's not necessarily so that you don't climb in, but that they have to legally do that so that you keep distance. Yeah. So
the
like
radiation.
Yeah. So people that have it on the roof, I think it's
wow.
This is not good. Yeah. Unless it's like isolated with metal. So that it doesn't pass through. But one of the reasons why
Brussels
they put
Brussels is full of them.
Yeah. Because these are the sort of the base stations, so they push with way more power than other objects.
But with 5G, what they want to do is increase the number of stars.
Yeah, but they all have way less power.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit the change that's being made. Where this graph that you showed, I think, is a perfect illustration. Where in the past they could have like one device that could reach the homes in 10 kilometers, but that was slow because they had less lower frequency. So the wave is doing less times per second up and down, which means you can encode less information on it, because that's done by saying when the wave is up, you modulate it a bit, so you can say this is a 1, and then it's down, and you do something else, so you say it's a 0. That's how they encode information. So you can do less information, but you can reach longer. And what you're doing now is going shorter and shorter distances, putting more and more devices so that they can put more information on it, which increases the speed of transmission.
That's the way.
I think that's like
shorter.
The orcas.
Do the waves become even shorter?
Yeah. And because they're shorter, you need more energy to reach the same distance. And because you don't want to put all that energy in, for a variety of reasons, the most important one being money, I think, they put the boxes closer. More boxes and closer. And I think that's what basically 5G is. It's going to be a lot of boxes everywhere that are very close to everything. but as he was saying, like, they have trouble passing through a house, or passing through
trees.
Thin objects.
And shadow,
so,
he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Shadow.
So they're not emitting a lot of energy,
right.
Because you can, let's say, break your way through,
right.
But that requires a lot of energy, and apparently they're not using that.
Yeah.
So that means that everyone needs to have their own, like you need your own router, and that's why he also made the comment that the Wi-Fi in the garden will be better than in your house, right?
Yeah.
Right, the router in your house will be running on like a 3G or 4G network or something, and this will be kind of what's publicly available.
I guess.
Unless you have a receiver within your home as well.
Yeah.
But that's what they're doing now. So if you get a box. Mm-hmm. From a phone company, they're using these also as
repositories for other people.
And when you talk about the 5G is a range of 26 gigahertz.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So that's the.
But the Wi-Fi was 2.4.
Yeah.
Which is a lot less.
Yeah. So there are also longer waves. Mm-hmm. So the lower the frequency, so the lower the amount of hertz, the longer the wave becomes.
Okay.
So I think a 300 megahertz is exactly 1 meter wave. And FM radio, 100 megahertz is 3 meters. That's why like a big FM antenna will always be,
3 meters.
Well, they always need to be half length or quarter length. So they're always, that's why they have particular sizes.
Mm.
And so this 5G will have like, yeah, if the wavelength is millimeters,
yeah.
It will be half millimeter, which means they can put it in phones or in everything. But I think, yeah, if there's a case to be made about the effects of radiation, I think it's really good to look at emitted power rather than the frequency. I think that doesn't, not sure, but I don't think that's as important as the amount of power that is pushed through.
Nice.
And one thing that antennas do, just like lenses, you know, they can focus the radio waves or disperse them. They can amplify the power. So when you are in like radio hobby stuff, you always talk about the wattage of your transmitter, and then you talk about the effective radiated wattage. Because if you put 1 watt in your radio, but you have an antenna, which, like a lens, can focus the sunbeam, you know, it can become very hot in a small point. So your effective radiated wattage on that point can be much higher.
Yeah. And that's also what can be damaging.
Yeah, because like you know, like this, I can sit in the sun and it's okay. But we hold a lens to it, you know, and we
burn your hand.
And then you burn your hand. So I think that might also be. So this is called effective radiated power, I think, ERP.
Power.
They need to change the copper to the gold to can change the radiation.
I think yes.
Like when you plate something.
Yeah, I think I think yes, because the speed of light you can only do in a vacuum air, which already the world is not, except in outer space. So
to measure, you mean? The speed of air.
The speed of light is like a theoretical number,
okay.
Which is only happens in a vacuum, so in outer space. Then
is that really true? I mean,
yeah. Then you can reach the speed of light.
You mean as with an object, really?
Yeah, or
light
with
itself. Way. Obviously, is the same here.
Yeah, but also light will slow down a bit as it passes through objects, a little bit. Which, for example, you see, like why we have red sunsets, is because the sunlight is passing the Earth's atmosphere, not directly, but at an angle. So it means that there's more atmosphere, and it means that the light is slowing down, and color is a frequency. So it's shifting to a lower frequency, which is red. Like blue is higher frequency, and so if the sun is passing at an angle to the Earth, there's more atmosphere in between, so it slows down a little bit. And so we see that as deep orange sunset.
Interesting. That's strange. It's a different explanation of what I'm used to. Like,
okay.
The color, is it like, I didn't think there was something to do with speed. I don't have the whole explanation though.
It's the electromagnetic frequency, which is a function of speed also.
The frequency is different than speed, right? I mean, it's like...
It's the frequency is the amount of oscillations per unit of time.
Sure, yeah.
And then the wavelength comes from dividing that frequency by the constant speed of the object, which is theoretically you have speed of light, but in practice you never have this vacuum. So, for example, the Earth's atmosphere, the constant speed of light will be slightly less.
So okay, I didn't even know. I mean, you have like the gravity, which is not changing again, like the speed of light being constant, but then gravity changing time effectively, and therefore having an idea that it would change the speed of light. Things like that.
Yeah, gravity will impact it, but I'm not sure how. But for example, in radio technology, when you're as an amateur building your own radios. You have this formula of the wavelength is frequency divided by speed of light, but then you use a so-called verkortingsfactor. So shortening factor, because you're not using a vacuum in air, you're using copper wires which slow down the signals. So the verkortingsfactor of copper is like 89%. Yeah, so it's 10% or 11% slower than speed of light. So you need to take that into account with the size of your antennas and whatever. So this is, I think, why they might switch from going to copper to other materials, because they might have, depending on their conductivity, etc., they might have a different supporting structure.
I have a question too. Does pollution have any relationship to this as well? Because in terms of the, like, if you're looking at a sunset, for example.
And that's green.
or the colors are shifting as well. Like how the atmosphere is dense.
Yeah.
I think I don't know if that necessarily changes, but I do know it changes the color, right? So
The
kinds of ways that it passes through. I don't know if it interacts with the waves at all, but maybe it just does the color shift in a more pronounced way because of pollution.
I'm not sure if it would be really because it's like thicker air, but just more. There's more particles in it.
Right.
Not sure it has to do with the shortening of the wave necessarily. So I think effective radiated power is the. It's probably. If you can speak to Niels, that he was on the standardization of 5G, I think can be interesting, because probably they will be talking about the effective radiated power limit on these things.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the question then comes of, is it harmful for organic matter or not?
And for which organic matter?
And there's, I think, the whole discussion.
On
that point.
And also for the other possible or existing networks.
Right. How does that affect? Yesterday, Martin told me that the quartz have a very exactly frequency, and for this is the using the quartz to the clocks, because it's very exact.
Yeah,
and have a very exactly frequency, and I think that we can be thinking more about this, because all the crystals have a different frequency, all the trees have different frequency.
Yeah, there is a really nice film about the quartz, which is like a propaganda film from the American Army from the 40s, called Crystals Go to War. It's on YouTube, and there they're explaining this piezoelectric effect of quartz, where they found out that if you put electric energy on this crystal, it starts to vibrate, or if you vibrate it, it will give a bit of electric energy. And they find out that if you can cut slices from it, again slicing, if you cut slices from it, then you can decide the speed at which it will vibrate. And so the whole invention of the quartz watch, etc., was this idea that you can have a specific thin slice of quartz, which you know that if you put a battery on it, it will vibrate at a constant speed. So then you know, that, I don't know, 1,000 vibrations is 1 second, for example. But that depends on the craftsmanship of polishing this quartz crystal. But there's a lot of crystals have these electric properties, which is really like you also have, I think it's tourmaline. It's used a lot in thermocouples. So thermocouples. So for example, when you turn on the gas stove and you just light it and you let go, it goes off immediately again. So as a to make sure that the fire is on, so you're not filling the house with gas. So you need to leave it on and heat this thermocouple that gives a signal so that it can stay on. And that's they use a bit of tourmaline inside, because tourmaline, if you heat it, it starts to vibrate or produce energy, or if you put energy in, it starts to heat. So it changes. No, it was not this. I think it changes the resistance, I think. So if you measure the electric resistance over the crystal and you heat it, the resistance will drop.
Okay, interesting.
But a lot of the standard sensors and electric components, they are based on crystals and their properties.
Tourmaline is... I had a friend with cancer who died last year. And I had been giving her like sessions to calm down, to be able to sleep. But the energy of a cancer is so... dark. That I was like, the first time I did it, I did not protect myself, so I was totally off. I didn't know what to do. And then someone told me, use tourmaline, take tourmaline with you. And the I can't explain it, but that's why I'm telling you. Then the stone absorbs this energy. And you, afterwards you put the stone in the earth.
Like
you don't
bury
it home, you bury it. And it worked. And I did it for months. But I cannot.
With the same stone? Or
No. You have to. Yeah, I bought it, then a stone. I would throw it and break it in parts. Each time I would give her a session, I would take part of the stone. And then after the session, I would bury it in the earth. But I was clean, you know?
So you say, Forza Centripeta.
What?
Forza Centripeta.
Centripeta?
Hacia el centro. Es la fuerza que lleva hacia el centro. Los cristales tienen unas fuerzas centrípetas y otras fuerzas centrífugas.
Middle point
fluid. Yeah. Turmalina is puede coger la energía, concentrarla dentro y por eso necesitas romperla y enterrarla, hacer por la tierra otra vez y volver la energía a la tierra.
Martin knows a lot about crystals and their electromagnetic properties. Also.
Oh, well, okay.
So if she,
Martin?
Martin,
yes. He said I have to talk to him.
So. She was also growing quartz crystals and I think it's really interesting. Because there's a lot of relations between...
It's interesting. I don't know much about it. Just through these kind of experiences that you realize it does something.
There's also one that I have it at home, because with Martino we were thinking of like looking back at electronic components, how they are made and their properties, and so then we figured we needed to have a lot of different crystals. And so there's one crystal that we have which is has this semiconductor property, and which is being used in LEDs. So if you put energy on it, it just makes light. And so it's, and this is like
an LED is based on crystal.
No, that's why. Like a lot of electric components are rare earth minerals or not so rare minerals. You know, like already the fact that it's copper and iron and etc. etc. It's like it's inherently natural, this stuff. And of course sand is used a lot, like silicium, for making these wafers for microchips, and it's all based on
sand.
Silicium. yeah, no, so computers, just like it's minerals and sand and.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks. Really nice that you wanted to share this.
Yeah. And this scene I made about this pretty fly for a Wi-Fi, it's on my website and it has a bit more precise explanation on the relation between wavelength and frequency and how to do these calculations.
Yeah.
Because then you can find out that somewhere it says this is a 26 gigahertz wave, then you can calculate the size of that wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rule of
dot info
with two F.
Nee. Rule of punt info. It's a big bake
the
PDF.
It's actually the team of this group. Just jumped in like this. That was sweet. What are you talking about in general in this group?
We're talking about 5G, the 6G, position. So thinking about like a multi-species approach to thinking about 5G and the relations that it could create.
Okay.
Or the effects.
So very, not only the physical part that we discussed now, but also the implementation part, or
maybe not so structural. Right.
The physical part, then, I mean, or the technological or something.
As far as we can get, no?
Mm.
I think.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, a lot of people, for example, they look skeptical at when people say that they can feel the radiation. But since it's all the same material, you know, it's the same stuff as light, you know, like when we can feel the heat from the sun. And you know, animals have sensitivities to different wavelengths. And I think lobsters, they can see very far into ultraviolet light. So I think it's not crazy that people have different sensitivities to these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like some people are, you know, they can hear better and others can smell better.
But it's interesting to take that from a phenomenological point, like saying like, okay, humans have lived on this planet and the way we have been shaped is because of the conditions of this planet. So obviously there is sunlight, so obviously we create a receptivity to sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I'm not going to draw conclusions here, but you could argue there is no radiation in this field, in this frequency bands. So why would we have been developing such? But maybe there is indeed.
There is, because you have a lot of radiation coming from the solar system itself. So that's why when you turn on a radio and you're between channels,
and
you hear the static.
Noise,
yeah, because that's just random radiation hitting at that point.
That's what they used to try to talk to the aliens.
Yeah, listening in the noise for patterns. Yeah. And that's assuming that another species would also make patterns that we can see as patterns.
You can argue it's all the time noise, so why would we have a... But maybe there is sometime a signal or something in this noise?
Yeah, that's what they're kind of...
That's actually the argumentation then. Yeah. So you're like, hey, wait a second. Fair enough.
But... So one of the, you have a lot of radio art that is also about this, and you have people that work on very low frequency or extremely low frequency, which are trying to catch like the very long waves that come from outer space. And there's a few musicians that made compositions with it. That if you make a radio receiver for this kind of thing, then you really get the sound of outer space talking to you. You hear like these, it sounds like chirps from birds, like pew. It's really
Groenland Martinet. It's this guy in Marseille who developed exactly this thing.
Yeah, because you know, of course, music.
My background.
Yeah, I don't know the names of these composers, but I've.
And how do you create? So it's about the receiver that you would create.
Yeah,
to be
so
able
you
to
make
catch
a,
it, right?
You
so
make
you
an
antenna
which is in proportion
to
the
wave
kind of
you're
waves.
Trying to catch.
Yeah.
And then transformer, I guess. To
and what an antenna does only is if it's hit by electromagnetic energy, it converts it into voltages.
Yeah.
Or if you give it voltages, it creates electromagnetic energy.
Okay.
So it's a translator.
Yeah.
So if you make a big antenna that can receive the radiated energy from yeah, from the outer space.
Yeah.
It will create tiny voltages which you can amplify and send to a speaker, and then you can hear it. Yeah.
Super interesting.
We've got material there.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
nice. You. Yeah. I think we can read the papers in a more precise way. And also what we want to look for. Maybe also with the frequency of crystals, trees.
Yeah.
Because then indeed the question of what's the right antenna might be become really important.
Yes.
Get in touch with the right frequency.
And I think also in the standardization story, because they know that the microwave is harmful because it puts out 700 watts of energy, very focused. So they're probably in the standardization process, they're trying to find a boundary of when is it not harmful to humans. But setting those limits is probably not considering other life forms whatsoever that might have different sensitivities.
And maybe also humans that might have different.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because then the standard human is taken.
What is the standard?
What is the standard human? And I think maybe at this point it's really interesting to make an intervention to open that moment up where they say like, okay, it is safe for this case, and then you can basically expand the kind of cases they've not considered, I guess.
Well, so do you eat microwave food?
Because once it's hot, it's
you don't eat the
wafers
or anything.
No, exactly.
But you might have killed a few of the ingredients.
Yeah. Because I suppose you made a separate beer for it, right?
I mean, yeah, if you would have a live food, like a fermented product or etc., and you would microwave it, then
but that's pasteurization also. We did a test with apples with my mother. Like there, in the house where I grew up, there was a tree
orchard.
And so we had apples from specific trees to make apple sauce with every year.
Yeah.
And my mother then found out that the microwave was the easiest way to make apple sauce. And then it's only 5 minutes, and you know, and tastes. I was like, wait, it's the same taste. It is. And so it was a big discussion. So we made a regular one and a microwaved one. We put it on the table for the rest of the family, and they didn't eat the microwaved. That's impressive.
Flavors do change.
So
what else does change?
Heating is not heating. Like the whole of cooking is about all these different kinds of heating, speed, and types of oil you heat something in. So for sure it has an impact.
Anyway, it might not harm us. It was an interesting experiment.
Last
time it was your socks. Okay, nice.
If Marta comes, I think because she knows a lot about radio, she also has a license, and she's worked with the crystals, so it might be a very nice voice also.
Yeah. We might be just talking to people all day.
That could be nice too.
So can I upload this to the Etherbox, the discussion?
Yeah, sure.
Super.